name is Adam. I'm an alcoholic. And I am not a public speaker, but I'm going to do my best. And I thank you for to be of service. I was told early on, when asked, you say yes. And I've tried to do that to my best of my ability. Sobriety date is March 7th, 2017. Open to sponsor people. And currently am in shopping for a home group. So kind of get into it. I was born in Jupiter, Florida, and I thought my life was good, right? I mean, I grew up with two good parents that were involved. My mom was super loving. She wanted everything for her kids, gave everything. My father had alcohol issues. The household was, emotionally and verbally abusive, right? So, like, growing up, it was, chaos and yelling. That was what I was used to. But I kind of just barreled through it. You know, I was ADD as a kid, lots of problems. I mean, I out of the gate, I was high energy, and always getting in trouble. I was like what you'd call a latchkey kid. You know, so my parents were either working, both hardworking people. So, you know, getting home, it was, running the neighborhood. You know, get on the bike, get on the skateboard, play with the older kids, that sort of thing. Guess I was always hanging out with the older kids. Started early. My sister, I have one sister, one sibling, sister, she's older. And we both were. We I always looked up to her. She was the older child. And she was the one that introduced me so my story heavily involves drugs. Most of my life was in drugs. It was more accessible. But for traditions, I'm going to stick it to alcohol. But put whatever you want into it. Insert, you know, et cetera. I'm an addict. Through and through, it's a symptom for me. I pick anything and I will go chasing it. People, gambling, you know, etc. So, again, started early. I was in third grade, I didn't know what I was doing, hanging out with my sister, going to the skate parks, going to the beach, hanging out with the surfer skater crowd, and that's how it started. You know, I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just kind of being acceptable, hanging out with the older kids. I was doing what they were doing. And that involved all of the keg parties. I was the entertainment. I was a little kid that was doing keg stands and, let's, make him puke before we take him home so he's less drunk when we give him to mommy. So I really didn't know what I was doing back then. Again, I did realize that it made me feel good. It made me escape. I was a baseball player. I was a very athletic person growing up. So I was always learning to run and go and leave the house. And so that's what I did. I mean, all throughout life, I was always running. I was always, the first sign of problems. I'll share this story really quick. Smoking cigarettes and in the woods, and starting little forest fires and trying to put them out as quickly as possible. And we had these things, birch trees. And I ripped off a bunch of the bark, so it's like paper trees. Birch trees, paper trees, very highly flammable, as I would learn. I put them in the, it was this V, I put it in the, a bunch of paper inside this crux of this tree, and this whole thing lit off. And burned about an acre of woods. I was going to run. The guy that I was with, he was, thank God, he was more mature than I was. Like, this was in a semi-residential area. So he proceeded to call 911, but I was going to book it, and he took the whole rap for it. I start with that because it's just like that. I mean, that's the sign. Like, I was a lot of problems. Sixth grade, I mean, I had already been to probably psychologists, psychiatrists, like, please help them. My parents were, you know, totally lost. My father was uninvolved. He was not around, pretty much. I mean, he worked second shift. So it was when we were at school, he would be home. And so it just was like he was never around. He was uninvolved. I say that, it doesn't make me an alcoholic, it didn't make me an addict, but it's like, it has a lot to do with my inventory today. You know, like I perceived my world the way that I learned it as a young child. So, you know, a lot of these fears, insecurities of like being less than, being yelled at, being told I'm worthless, being told like, you know, I'm not going to amount to anything. Like all of these things, these tricks. Like this was probably years later, but I remember these thoughts of like, I wish somebody would just hit me, you know, because I wanted to feel physical pain. Like this was when it started getting really bad, you know. Like I mean, again, I'm seventh or eighth grade. Like it was a full blown problem. Like legal issues. The collection of different alcohol bottles, you know, insert whatever you want to do, you know, weighing out the bottles, all that stuff, you know, like, I mean, I trying to be this successful dealer of substances, it, you know, whatever. I started most of my friends in it, you know, like, I mean, nobody really knew what it was, so, like, I was... here, let's go party at my house, and which was acceptable. There was no, you know, I mean, I think the mentality of my house is, you know, as long as we don't see it, it's okay. You know, my house was the house to crash at. My sister was always having parties at. I mean, kind of just a hint at this, for her 16th birthday party, they threw her a keg party. So that's to kind of like hint at like the level of freedom we had in our household. But that started all changing when I entered the scene of, like, my mom defended me. She would have defended me until, like, it did, eventually. Like, she was my enabler. Like, it got me into a lot of problems. She got me out of a lot of problems. She would always, like, cushion the fall. Like, that sort of mentality, which just further cemented me. I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to blindside you every turn I can go. Because it was a mutual sickness on both our parts. You know, I got to do what I got to do, and I played her little baby child, and it all worked out. You know, until drastic problems started happening. Juvenile delinquent through and through. Multiple. You know, you're talking about military camps. You're talking about detoxes. Go through the list. You know, they wanted to do everything in order to help me, and the way they had to help me, their hand would be forced, because like the court systems, as long as you go and check into a 30-day rehab, they're going to keep you out of that system. So that's kind of like what happened. But what ended up happening was I was on probation up until 12 to finally add it up. You know, multiple violations of probation, and. Finally, they suggested the court systems a level 8 program, which was, 12 to 18 month program with 4 months of dead time for placement in a detention center. And up until that point, I had no, I guess you could say I was a sheltered kid. I mean, I tried to run the streets. I tried to, you know, like, whatever. I mean, I quickly realized that I did not want to end up in that lifestyle. Freedom for me was important, you know, and that experience helped me realize the life that I didn't want to live. You know, I don't want to be a gangbanger. I didn't want to be a thug running the streets, you know, because I knew how much pain that would lead. You know, like I say this, like, I didn't want to be an animal. Like, I knew I had an issue, you know, and like that for me, like, that I knew, I guess, subconsciously early on, like, if I go down that path, the crazier I get, the more I have to keep that craziness up, and there's no bottom to it, you know. And I had already had really bad problems, you know. And I always was playing this trick on myself. Well, I'll get sober when I'm 16. I'll get sober when I'm 17. Never graduated 10th grade. I went to college after getting a GED in that correctional facility, and I did well. But I was sober at that time. Like, when I got out of that situation, like, I remained dry for a while out of fear. And I just knew I didn't want to go back there. I didn't know how to not commit crimes because, you know, I was a shell of a person leaving there. You know, I really was. I didn't know how to react to life. You know, my whole life up until that point was just in and out of, like, I mean, probably 19, like, I felt like institutions were going to be my life forever, you know? So, multiple suicide attempts, multiple psych wards. I'm going to go into that. Like, that's my qualifier, right? Like, I am through and through. Like, I have no hope. But I proceeded to go multiple years after trying to define who I was, just trying to keep it at alcohol, going out, turning 21. Like, I'm just going to keep it at alcohol. It was never my case. Like, I chased everything I could, harder, faster, longer. And I never saw the end. Like, my life was filled with chaos. I hated myself. I hated others. I didn't trust anybody. Like, I could not keep anybody around for very long because I'd go down the laundry list of things that I would do or say or steal or, you know. I was not trustworthy. I wouldn't keep trustworthy people around me. And I fringed on mental instability all the time. You know, like, I mean, I went to doctors, I doctor shopped, on all different types of stuff. So that's kind of it, you know, qualifying to the end, you know, like, I mean, so getting sober now, like 23, there was this white light moment where I had been at a really bad spot. I was very lightweight. I had proceeded to go on a long bender with this guy that had just got out of the military. He had a check, I had money. We went on this just endless spree, and call it, like, whatever you want to. It was drug-induced psychosis, and I had this white light moment that got me sober initially. I joined the church, proceeded to do that religious life. Did that for 2 years. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I was unwanted there. I couldn't talk to anybody. Dude, if I tried to open up to anybody about my lifestyle, they would, like, you know, I mean, okay, so up until this point, there was a 25-year-old virgin that I had met in church. That blew my mind. That was like a total spin for me. I was like, what is, like, I didn't get the concept. And that's just the, like, maybe one extreme. But there was people there that I was meeting that was just like, wow, you can live this lifestyle. Like, you have never seen anything. Like, you had, like, how does that even happen? Like, this completely, like, I'm like, I was mind blown. So I was so entranced with that. And I just surrounded myself with those people. And then eventually what had happened, like, going into all these discipleship groups, or whatever you want to call it, trying to get more involved in this religious program, thinking I was going to be some priest one day. It caught up to me, right? So, like, I felt like I was pretending. I felt like I was a fake. So it ended up, I ended up getting all these guys sat me down one time because I was acting out, and they told me that they could no longer hang out with me. So that's like that, a little burned by that. I caught a mad resentment. So out the door I went, and gripped the wheel a little bit, stayed sober a little bit after that. But I had already built up my resentment, and I was alone. I was, you know, I didn't have my fellows that I thought were very thick-blooded homies that failed. All of these situations, like, it was me. It really was. Like, I was a sick human being. I would act out. I was I still, to this day, like a lot of this stuff that I've been through, I still have to work through. I still have to look at myself. I can be a very selfish, I can be a self-seeking, dishonest, like all of these things that, that were the makeup of my life forever. The shame of the life that I lived. So ultimately what it was, I had been in Palm Beach now for, the end game, I had a career in Palm Beach County, that I had been to rehab like 5 times with them. I knew it was just a matter of time before they found something to fire me over. Bouncing into halfway houses, and this is my constant story, halfway houses treatment. Being able to like get 6 months of sobriety, maybe a year of sobriety, I think was the longest time. Getting a sponsor, doing all like faking the footwork of thinking I had a sponsor, working 3 steps and then bouncing out. And I had actually completed the steps at one point, but I wasn't in it. I really wasn't. Like, I was just doing it just to check boxes. Every time catching resentments, every time looking at the personalities in here, having them chase me out, like, you know, not focusing on what I needed, you know, the principles, you know, like the hopeless person that I was using, like I didn't want that, you know. And so, like, ultimately what it was, I moved away, I had a career, I knew it was going to be the same thing. I changed careers and I moved away to New Orleans. I knew it was going to be the same song and dance. I relapsed while I was over there. I got the job 3 months sober, whatever it was. I gripped it tight. I went to a couple meetings while I was in New Orleans, and then finally the bottom fell out. I had relapsed for 4 months, and I was living in fear. You know, I was living in fear. I knew it was going to all collapse down on me. So I checked in this time, March 7th, 2017, for my last time after a 3-day weekend bender. Looking at, I had to be at work at 6:30, looking at it, and I'm like, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just fried. You know, like, that was my MO. I'd burn it all to the ground, so checked into rehab, it was the 5th time I was in that place. The executive chef, the whole deal, a cushy spot, some hotel in Lake Worth, Behavioral Health of the Palm Beaches, I was so checked out at that place, because the preceding theme that the fear that I have is this is not going to last. I mean, I'm 4.5 years sober. It's not going to last, but I've done it, right? I've done it by, when I was in New Orleans, there was this, if you want to call them like an aggressive set of guys, the guys that were like doing the work, you know, they were going to detoxes, they were going to, you know, they were doing all of it. You know, they were running the meetings, talking to new guys. They weren't hooking, you know, they weren't talking, whatever. That's all I wanted. And I still made mistakes. Like, I still wanted to chase the wrong things. But I just followed, you know, and I just listened. I proceeded to work the steps. Because I kind of knew, before this, I knew the process. You come bouncing in and out, you know, sponsor, like, okay, yeah, rattling off, but like to truly feel it, of like, I gotta do this. I don't want to get high and drunk anymore. Like, it's a dead end every single time. I know exactly where it's a roll of dice when I go out, because I've done it before where I hold on for a long time, but I'm miserable. Like, I'm absolutely miserable. Like, it's doing this tight grip on reality, and all I want to do is let it go and just go real hard, because it's all or nothing for me. I have to be aggressively drunk. Yeah, like nothing. Like, I want to get numb, I want to get anesthetized, I want to feel nothing, do nothing, and I just want to go down that path. And being sober, I've been able to be more a part of life. I got, early on, I got involved in committees young people committees. If anybody asked, I was in. Like, yes, yes, yes. Let's do it. Let's do it all. Let's fellowship. Yes, I'm in. Getting involved right in the middle. You know, not I didn't want to fall off. You know, call it fear early on. Going through. Obviously, powerless in a man's ability was throughout my life. I had nothing. I had no grasp of reality. Finding God in those early times, like, I rapidly worked my steps that time. I was through my steps in 3 to 4 months, and I was sponsoring guys shortly thereafter. And in New Orleans, there is a plethora of newcomers, right? Like, I mean, they're aggressive. It's I would consider it's some of the best AA, because you have drunks walking off the street coming into your meetings. So you're very tight-knit, strong meetings. And so that was it. Like, I placed myself in front of newcomers. All it was not complicated. I was told. I was pushed. I was just, take the sickest person in the room, sit them down, and start reading the book, and start passing the book back and forth, and just reading the book. That's kind of where my first God moment came. Was it's like I had been taking from AA for so long that I'd been coming to meetings. I'd been trying to, you know, it was for friends, it was for whatever the motivation was at that time. Well, no, like sitting across from somebody that I just wanted to stay sober, and it was this. Very special. I hadn't had a white light moment in a very long time. I'm a very stubborn. I want to avoid all God moments, you know, because I'm not. You know, I consider myself very spiritual. I'm learning God more than I have ever, like a true God to me that I learn it on a daily basis. I learn it through all of you. I need more connection. I need more people to show me what God is and God's love, I guess. So that's kind of like, I didn't have it at first. I didn't have that God moment, you know, like it's taken me a long time to navigate that and trust and to show love and tolerance for others. That's my God to me. My inventory, I continuously have to go back. So moving several times, I moved to New Orleans, to Jacksonville, now it's here. So I've gotten a new sponsor in every location. I recently moved away from my Jacksonville sponsor to a local sponsor here, and I'm going to rework the steps. So I've worked the steps 2 times in New Orleans. I did it again in Jacksonville, and I'm going to do it again here. And it's kept it fresh. It's kept it new. Like I constantly am, you know, seeing differences and new outlooks on defects and resentments, and all the time, like all the time. So, and that's only doing these steps that I'm able to see that. You know, every single one is important to me. You know, like I have to go back on a constant basis. Like a month ago, I'll share this. Like I started smoking after 2 years of not smoking. People have told me I can work the steps through cigarettes, tobacco, right? But it's like this power, this God, this disconnection from God that I was like, nope, not yet, right? I still want to smoke. I still need that crutch. So it's practicing these principles in all my affairs. It's really believing that this does work. You know, the personalities, yeah, I can be chased out in a matter of minutes with personalities in here. I can also not investigate, you know. Like, I have to constantly, my prior ideas can be false. So I constantly have to reevaluate where I'm at. You know, like if I say that I was contemptuous in one moment, maybe a year ago, well, maybe I have to relook at that, you know. So the inventory to me, 6 and 7 to me have been, you know, it's, what was it, one paragraph in the big book. It's taken a lot more meaning today. 6 and 7, which my defects, they continuously crop up. you know, just with the insecurity of, and maybe ego of starting to smoke again, you know, like it hit me hard. And then reevaluating, like for me also, like family. That's probably one of the hardest things for me to deal with. You know, like, I mean, I'll share it right now. Like, there's discussion about COVID right now, which is just, you know, maybe we're not going to be together for the holidays, right? So, like, it's not perfect. Life is not perfect. I still have all these things to deal with. I'm not going to see family. Like, all this crazy stuff. Life happens. And I'm able to deal with it. Like, I have a certain calm to me that I, if you would have known me before, like, I growing up in the house that was chaotic and yelling, the person that, I don't like yelling. These loud noises scare me. I have a hard time being in loud groups, you know, like that, that it's just, that's what's happened, you know? But I'm working all that out, you know. Like I outside help is not out of this realm, you know. So like all these the process of doing all the steps, going through my amends. So since I had been through the steps before, I had made a lot of the financial amends. More of it was like living amends, of being like a consistent, stable person and not like falling off the wagon every, you know, 10 minutes, 10 days, whatever it was. So that's what like amends to me means for my family, is being there, being able to listen, being the cool head, even though they want to, you know, argue and yell and demean me or whatever, I'm set. Like I have my security, you know. It's sometimes questioned, but, you know, like I constantly have to work on those fears, all that stuff. Constant work on myself. That is 10. The connection with God. Again, I get that through others. I really do. I'm able to connect with others. I'm able to work with sponsees. What my sobriety looks like for me today. 4.5 years sober. I try to call another alcoholic, at least one, on a daily basis. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I've had to reevaluate that. You know, like, I mean, life for me has always been changing. You know, I don't think yesterday's sobriety is going to keep me sober today. So like the intricacies of life, like I have to learn how to adapt, how to change, how to, you know, deal with people. I'm not always the best at this. It's not perfection though. You know, this is all like progress. And I do see a new outlook. You know, again, I've gone through it here recently. I think we all have in a certain way, one way or the other. But it's the consistency that has kept me sober for this long. You know, I still reel back and like, wow, like it's been a wild ride. Thankful for every moment. I still have fun. I don't live under a rock. I can't do that. I still go out. I still, you know, when I was in New Orleans, like there was moments where. I can't even describe it. You know, it's just a wild time. You know, I'm concerts and all that stuff. I say that, and then prayer and meditation. That's also something that I started finding it through yoga. I visit church every once in a while, trying to work on that resentment. Trying to step in the doors and just like, okay, like this is what it is, not be violently judgmental and just sit there and just grin and bear it. So it's been a, I need more service. I've been, like I said, like the past month after picking up smoking again, like I've disconnected a little bit. I felt a little bit more self-pity. I felt a little bit more shameful. There was a time there that I was just riding on this wave, and that wave kind of, it changed. So that's what I'm trying to figure out now. You know, like, what, where am I at? You know, like, sobriety to me is priority. You know, and that's what I find in every one of you in these rooms, inside and out. You know, like, it's a deeper sense of connection. I need that. Kind of wrapping that up, but I'm very thankful for allowing me to be of service, and hopefully it was somebody got something from that. Thank you.